Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to learn tonight? Woo, we're hot. That's what my wife told me I was. I just needed some proof. Are we going to learn tonight? This is the day, this is the night, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Hopefully you rejoice a little louder than that. Amen? Has it not been a good day? Well, then we've got more to rejoice about than just waking up, right? Amen. We've got some... Travis, did you get those two scriptures that I... All right. Why don't you go ahead and post one, and we'll get started. This is what the pastor has proclaimed over Wednesday night. Am I correct? Yeah, she says change the version to New King James. Nothing wrong with the Amplified, but you got to have patience. Or I can read that. All right. Oh, no. Never King James. New King James. Let's drop the these and the thous. That's the main thing. All right. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability. Will stabilize your times. And the strength of salvation. Wisdom and knowledge will strengthen your salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. Do you know what that last sentence means? Because you're not really supposed to be afraid of God. Unless you call fear respect. So there's two things mentioned that I want to mention here tonight. The fear is respect and obedience. That's what the fear that we're talking about here. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. You honor Him, you respect Him, and you obey His word, and it's His treasure. That means you are His treasure. But only if you get stable, get strong, and obey. The way to do that is know what the word says, right? If you were a lawyer and you went into court and presented a petition in front of the judge, you better know the law. Or the judge will say, get out of my court. And we are to be strong and quick into presenting our petitions before the Lord, right? The best petition you can present before the judge, the Almighty God, that is His word. To do that, you must have access and knowledge and understanding of His word. That's what we want to do here tonight. And because we're going to have the fellowship time after church, I don't have a long one tonight. That's by faith I'm speaking that. Amen? All right, Father, we're looking for Your wisdom, Your stability, Your knowledge, all found in Your Word. So we're going to open Your Word tonight. We're going to study it. There are people here tonight that need to hear specifics from You. Touch my lips with Your coal of fire. Sanctify those words. Open the hearing. Speak the words through me that they need to hear. Go deep in the heart. Change. Reveal. Heal. And we will be careful to always give You all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, Amen. All right. I was reading in the Word earlier this week. And something, and I will go through this, but something dawned on me, just like it always, Word always does that to you. How we live and move and have our being in a miraculous day that God has made. And it is so, we get used to miracles. We don't recognize miracles. Sometimes they sneak up on us. We think a miracle is when we get into serious trouble and I stand in faith and I call those people and they stand in faith and all of a sudden it is revealed. Well, that's true. That is a miracle. But there's another kind I want to deal with tonight. It's part of, by the way, this is part of a covenant series that I've started. And I want us to understand what a covenant is. I'm not going to teach on that tonight. But how it operates in our lives. By the way, one of the interpretations or one of the translations of covenant in the New Testament is mourning. So God says, I have established a covenant with you. And the very word mourning is the covenant being established in your life. That means no mourning ever rises without there being a covenant of God's love and miracles in your life. It's there. The scripture says don't take thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. God has provisioned tomorrow in the word mourning in His covenant to take care of it and you. So you shouldn't have to worry about that. God has established that covenant. When God establishes a covenant, by the way, God's covenants work whether you do or not. They're real. They don't fail because you do. Right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son as a covenant for the entire world. It doesn't mean the world is going to take advantage of the covenant. But the covenant is real. God doesn't say, oh, phooey, I made a mistake. He says it, it's finished. Jesus established the "it is finished" covenant when He was on the cross. With a loud voice He cried, everything that needs to be done has been done. It is finished. That's what "it is finished" means. I have accomplished for you everything that needs to be accomplished. Now, if you'll just do what I say, you will enjoy all the provisions of the covenant. Not only for now, but for eternity. That make sense? All right, let me get back to what I was going to say. God is working when we're not looking. He works more when we're not looking than when we are. And that's usually because we're not looking enough. If we were looking for reasons to praise Him, we would recognize more miracles. If you will turn to Acts chapter 12, I'm going to tell you this story real quick, and then we're going to read. Peter made some people mad, a king mad. The king threw him in jail and shackled him, guarded him. Angels of the Lord came, delivered him. In the process, let me say it this way. Peter never knew what hit him. Peter wasn't even sure it happened because it happened. He wasn't even too sure it wasn't just a vision. Why? He was asleep. He wasn't worrying. He wasn't praying. He wasn't even looking for deliverance. He just figured God had the thing under control. Or he did what you and I do sometimes. We just give up. I wasn't there, so I don't know. Now, let me make myself clear again. This is Covenant Part 2. The title is When Things Are Beyond Our Faith. Anybody that thinks that there aren't things that happen that are beyond your faith, you haven't thought very well. Those things that happen very quick can be beyond your faith. You didn't have time to prepare for it. You can look at a situation. Peter was shackled, guarded, double guarded. He thought, well, this is the way it's supposed to be. So we have it in wrong thinking also. We think wrong. We're not thinking at all. We're asleep when we should be awake. All right, let's go. Or When We Forget to Believe. That's the subtitle. When We Forget to Believe. How many of you have forgotten to believe? I'll give you a little simple example. You've been praying about something. You've been believing for it. And you get up one morning and you forget to praise God for it. You do that several days in a row. It just slips. And all of a sudden, you realize, man, I was supposed to be going this direction. And I forgot. All right, well, we don't go to hell for that. We don't go to hell for that. And we don't lose out because of that. Because there's a covenant being established. And we need to learn to trust the covenant more than we trust ourselves. Because the Holy Spirit's faithful to remind us what to ask for, what to think. All right, Acts chapter 12, verse 1. This is the story, and I want to add some things to it as we go. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Now, let's say it this way. The enemy always comes to harass. Now, listen, you will swallow that one hook, line, and sinker, because that's your experience. The enemy always comes to harass the church. That's you and me. The church is not the building. The church is you and I. We can get comfortable with that. We shouldn't. It says he comes to harass. Do we think that in the harassment, God's got a plan? Then what we should be thinking about is we know the enemy's going to come to harass, but we know that I'm greater than the enemy. God's in me is greater than the enemy, and I don't have anything to worry about. Right? Yes or no? Y'all asleep. Have you already forgotten what to believe for? We're believing to be changed tonight. Okay, then we got to stay on our toes to do that. All right, number one, the enemy will always come and attempt to defeat you, harass you and defeat you. There's no purpose for harassment except defeat. All right, verse 2. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Well, what happened there, Stan? He forgot to believe. It's God's will that none should perish, but all should have everlasting life. Do you know that? There is a covenant, a promise in the Bible that tells you how long you're supposed to live. At least. And for those of you who think it's 70, it's not. It's 120. So choose whichever one you want. It's your covenant. There's two different times mentioned. Maybe some of you don't want to live 120. That's fine. But just remember, you've been given that promise, and to not stay alert means the promise will be stolen. So the enemy comes not only to harass, but to kill, steal, and destroy. We better know that, or we won't know what fight to fight. So we can allow him to kill us, or we can stay with the covenant and say, no way, Jose. Y'all believe that, or you just wish I'd go away? All right. Verse 3. And because he saw him killing James, because he saw that killing James pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. And that was during the days of the unleavened bread. All right. We spend way too much time trying to be popular and not enough time trying to be in the covenant. So what we need to do, besides that, remember this. The majority is always wrong. The majority is always wrong. Please, when you go to school, when you go to work, when you want to go in a conversation, I don't care what, the majority is always wrong. Well, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. If there's a big movement in this country to go this direction, you'd be going the other. Because that's the wrong way. The covenant's been given to you that he holds kings in his hands. So the majority vote is always going to be wrong, so you must rely on God that he puts in the king that he wants. Because if it's a popular one, it's wrong. If you love me all the time, I'm doing something wrong. Let's get it down to the nitty-gritty here. How about that? How about you just walk around expecting people just to disagree with you once in a while because it's the way it is. And I'm not going to change my mind because you don't like what I'm thinking or saying. Come on. Believe me, if you'll read about the life of Jesus, he didn't win any popularity contests. He was there to deliver the Word of God and do the will of God and snakes and vipers to the rest. Herod wanted to please the Jews with another death. If I give you one death, I'll give you another one. Y'all see that? Verse 4. So when Herod had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squads of soldiers to keep him. He must have had a little bit of respect for Peter's authority. 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Let me say it another way. Intending to do what he wanted no matter what God wanted. The world thinks that they can get bigger than God. They can get, if I just gang up enough, we'll outvote God. Do y'all agree with that? So we want to be on the side that's powerful, not popular. Right? Okay. The enemy wants headlines and will overdo whatever it takes to get them. Did you hear me? The enemy wants headlines. The enemy knows he's a loser, so he's going to be offended all the time. You offend him. Do you know that Christians offend him? And when we act offended, we act like him. And when we act at peace, it makes him mad. Right? Verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison. But look at this. Remember last Wednesday night about fellowship? Here it comes. But constant prayer was offered up to God for him by the church. This prayer was offered up to him because he was in covenant with Christians. He had fellowship with them enough to know they knew when he was in trouble. And they didn't wait for him to call and say, can I get on the prayer line? Thank God for prayer lines, but fooey with them too. Let's get so close we don't need them. So if you find out by the Spirit or the other way that I'm in trouble or vice versa, we just automatically take care of it. It was taken care of in prayer. When are we going to get satisfied with the fact that when we pray, when we lay our petitions before God, it is already cared for? Why? Because God's the one that put that burden on your heart. He knew about it before you asked. You asked, you fulfilled the deal of the covenant, the rules of the covenant. Now, guess what? He has to hasten to do his word. His covenant. Verse 6. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping. The good part is he wasn't worrying. The bad part is he forgot to believe. How many of you believe while you're sleeping? I believe I'm sleeping. That's about as far as I go. Sometimes I've been awakened by the Holy Spirit. Not awakened, but something happens in the Spirit where you are actually believing while you're asleep. I've had that happen. But he was sleeping. Bound with two chains between two soldiers, and then the other guards before the door were keeping the prison. So there was no way out. That was Herod's design. That was the soldier's will. No way out. Why? This is the reason. I remember I told you the enemy's going to do whatever it takes to try to win. The enemy thinks if he does enough, if you see enough, you will become discouraged. What do you think pain is for? Pain is not a gift from God. And you don't get good gifts from Satan. Pain is a report that your faith needs to be stronger. How about that one? Because Jesus paid with his bruises and stripes for your healing. Is that true? Then that's finished. That's part of the covenant. How do I know it's finished? Because Jesus said it is finished. So if there's any pain, it's a lie against it is finished. So the enemy thinks if I can just give you enough pain, you will forget it is finished. You forget the covenant. You forget to believe. He wants us to see situations that are absolutely impossible to overcome. I think Peter looked out, saw his situation and said, I'm a goner. My brother's dead. I'm a goner. Doesn't that sound human? They just killed my brother. Don't worry about it. He's forgetting to believe. God has a covenant to fulfill even when we forget to believe. Come on, that should excite you. God has a covenant. Because those people prayed, He has a covenant to honor even if we forget, even if we're lost, even if we're facing what we think is impossible situations. Verse 7. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him. Him who? Peter. It didn't wake him up. So a light came on. And it didn't wake him up. And so he just kicked him. Peter! You see the determination of God? I want you to understand through the Scripture that God is not easily put off. He is going to do His covenant. Even if He has to kick us. Which is fine. Don't think that Peter didn't want out of the prison. Peter would rather have been kicked than beheaded. He struck Peter on the side and raised him up. He didn't say, get up, Peter, I want to talk to you. Peter, you need to fast for a while. And all Peter's doing is going, I'm still asleep. He said, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Well, he got up so fast, he jerked his hands out of the chains. No. There was a covenant that had to be fulfilled. Y'all believe that? Of course, it went away with Peter, right? Okay. When it is impossible, or when we are overwhelmed, God steps in. That's his covenant. Verse 8. Then the angel said to him, how do I know he's addled? Because he's having to be told everything. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself. Well, that's not good enough. Put your shoes on. Tie your shoes. Like a little kid. You'd think an adult man knew how to get dressed, but the angel had to tell him how to get dressed. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. That's the way I would say it. When I know you know what to do and I'm having to tell you how to do everything, I'm going to say, put your garment on. Let's go. Man, I got the chains off of you. You're free. Let's get out of here. He was too far gone to believe. So what was happening? God was doing it for him. I want y'all to be encouraged about this. Y'all don't need to look like I'm a foreigner or something. I'm not speaking some crazy language. God will intervene when we don't have it in us. If we're still half asleep or dazed, He'll instruct us. And according to this, He instructs us in every detail necessary to get us out of the situation. Verse 9. So He went out and followed him. Now look at this. And did not know that what was done by the angel was real. He didn't even know this was real. He was so foggy, he didn't understand that something was happening. He could kind of barely see it, but here's what it says. But thought he was seeing a vision. It was such a, what we'd say now is out of body experience. He didn't think his body was going with the vision. He thought he was seeing something to come. So we know that it wasn't by his cognizance, wasn't it by his agreement, it wasn't even by his alertness that this was going on. It was by the covenant of the Lord. That's right. We got at least one amen. This isn't put in here for storytelling time. This is put in here so you'll have understanding. It'll be real in your life. Verse 9. Oh, we did that. The other part of this is we need to understand. This needs to be driven home harshly. Most good things that happen to us happen when we're not in charge. Yeah, Peter wasn't in charge here, was he? And man, there was some stuff going on here. And I don't think God really wanted any advice at that moment. God already had a plan to do it, and He wanted to do it. He could tell him how to get dressed, put his shoes on, but don't give him any other advice. Just do it. Follow me, the word was. You get your garment on and follow me. Verse 10. When they were past the first guard post and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city. Look at this. Which opened to them of its own accord. Now, just in case you think somebody else is in charge of gates or steel or fire or anything that resists you, they are not. Remember when I said, don't take thoughts for tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to take care of itself. Well, believe me, those iron gates were part of tomorrow. And the covenant covered all of tomorrow for you. So no gate can stand in your way. No weapon that was ever formed against you to hold you can prosper. Not just for Peter, this is for now. It opened of its own accord. That means the angel of the Lord nor Peter neither even have to touch the gate. And they went out and went down one street, and look at this, and immediately the angel departed from him. That was rude. No, that was time. What he couldn't do, God accomplished and is now going to turn over to him what he can do. Let me say it another way. You can't do it without God, but God's not going to do it all for you. He'll do what you can't do and turn the rest over to you. He had a message. He had a job. He was to go into that city. He was going to minister. So they went out the gates. They went past the guards. They went down one street. And the angel said, it's your turn now. I woke you up. I kicked you. I dressed you. I undressed you as far as chains and guards. Now, it's your deal. So here's what we know. When we get back on our feet, when we are delivered out of the impossible and into the safety, that's God's job, right? That's His covenant. Take you out of what you can't do and put you into what's safe. You are saved, right? So He's going to pull you out of prison and put you into sozo. Safe. Then our faith and our life and our calling is back to our commitment. Okay. Y'all are missing it here, I can see. There are two things in your life you have to depend on, is truth. One, when it's impossible, God will do it. Two, when it's possible, you do it. A covenant is not workable with a one-sided situation. So God will deliver and deliver and deliver until He sees that you no longer are committed to your end of the bargain. And then He'll stop delivering. And then you'll die like James. Now, whether that's an actual death, or whether you just are not usable anymore, I'm not there. I'm not the judge. Do you see what I'm trying to tell you? We need to get real comfortable in the fact that we don't have to be perfect to be delivered. We don't have to do everything just right. I don't have to learn every prayer, memorize every scripture, and know exactly when to do it. Otherwise, we wouldn't need an angel of the Lord. We wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. Verse 11. And when Peter had come to himself, now we realize that something has happened to him. He's realizing that he's out of jail. And he's going, whoa. That wasn't a vision. That really happened. Whoa! See, sometimes the things that God does for us, it takes us a while to soak it in. It's so big and it's so grand, it's beyond our wildest imaginations. Far beyond anything we could ever think or ask is what happened to Peter. Okay. Evidently, y'all never been delivered before. Or you might get a little excited here. When Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent His angel. Now what's he doing? He's meditating on the things that just happened. And the more he meditates on them, the more real they get. And the more real they get, the more praise is going to rise up in him. And the more praise, the more faith for the next expedition. He just got built up by a miracle of God. That's why God does miracles. To establish His covenant in our minds as much as anywhere. Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent His angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod. Now see, he wasn't out of Herod's reach yet, but he figured if Herod couldn't hold him in prison, he couldn't hold him anywhere else. So now he said, I'm beyond the reach of Herod. And from, look at this, all the expectation of the Jewish people. We're not delivered until we're delivered from expectation of other people. What did the Jews expect? Him to die. Well, actually, him to shut his mouth and never speak again or die. So now he's saying, I'm not afraid of Herod. I'm not afraid of laws. I'm not afraid of rules. I'm not afraid of their God or their religion. My hands, my feet were not just pulled out of those chains. They were pulled out of the chains of all people's expectations. And now that's free. Man, that's free right there. This old boy has something to praise God about. He analyzed. He meditated. He didn't want the enemy to take a miracle from him. You know why you were to overcome with the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony? Because the enemy's trying to steal your miracle. How is that? Well, this is not a testimony. This is the way people talk, and I may exaggerate, but not much. The other night, I felt bad. I prayed. I went to the hospital. They gave me a shot, and the shot fixed me. Well, then why'd you pray? Why'd you do that? Why didn't you save your money and your time? Either go straight and get the shot, or pray and take the healing. God heals. Let's go the next time. I got sick and I prayed and it went away. I've got a miracle. The enemy comes and says, no, that's a residual from your last shot. Now don't tell me he don't talk like that. I know he talks like that. He will reason with you if you want to reason with a fool. He will reason with you and try to steal your miracle from his reasoning power. Jesus says, come, let us reason together. And I promise you when that happens, the enemy can't take away your miracle. Our job is to remember the things that God has done for us and then think about those things that we were delivered from or we remember when I was there, when I was here, something happened. Listen, you can go back not too far and you start putting 2 + 2 together and you're going to find out God's been working on your behalf for a long time. But you may not recognize that until you go back and think a little bit. What are you doing? I'm meditating. And I'm establishing, and I get this miracle, and the next giant I walk up to, I'm going to say, I remember the lion, and I remember the bear, and you ain't no deal. I've been delivered. Well, you're not doing it the way I think you do. I've been delivered from that too. Yeah. Well, Stan, I know you're doing some things over here, and that's breaking the law. You know what? I've been delivered from that too. Hey, he said I'm delivered from Herod's hand. Herod was the law. Jesus broke the law. Do you know that? Oh, I didn't see anybody grab the heart, so you must know a little bit. Jesus honored the Father. He did not honor the law. I don't want you to go out and be a bunch of lawbreakers. That's not what I'm saying. Please don't hear me say that. But sometimes, if the law tells you to shut up, you got to break the law. If the law tells you you got to work on Sunday, you might break that law. It's your conscience. You deal with God. He'll deliver you one way or the other. The thing I want you to see about this also is that we are always delivered from more than we were thought we were delivered from. You hear me? See, he said, oh wow, man, I've just been pulled out of prison. And then before long, he realized he's pulled out of Herod's control. And then before long, he was pulled out of people's control. In other words, that miracle that happened to him grew as he meditated. Whoa. The feeling inside backed up the meditation. When you're set free, it does a whole lot more than just drop chains. He realized it was a large, large miracle. Here's what we are to be reminded from. Here's what we are reminded of. God is a Father that is always watching. Do you always watch? No, sometimes you sleep. Sometimes things try to sneak up on you on your backside. But God is always watching. God is always responding to our faith and our word. He's always watching and He's always responding. If I commit my life to God, then I'm committed. He's committed even when I need to be committed. You understand? We are to renew that covenant every day. Every day. We are to pray without ceasing. Why? Because we're in trouble? No. Let's just put it this way. We are to praise without ceasing. That's a better understanding. We are to praise Him. Because I woke up this morning realizing this was the day that God, the Lord hath made. I realized that God put into this day provisions for me. He said it would take care of itself, so I don't even have to try to change today. All I have to do is fit into the will of God for me in this day. I have to speak words. I have to speak words that strengthen me every day in that belief system. My wife started something years and years ago. You're going to say it now, right? She's got the granddaughter set. We can't even go anywhere. If they go in a different direction, they grab us and quote what she's fixing to quote right now.
Have restful, peaceful, sweet, restoring, healing, wonderful, blessed sleep. And when they leave to go to school or something, we'll say, have restful, peaceful, sweet, restoring, healing, wonderful, blessed day.
Now, I learned to rely on that. Because it seemed like most of my attacks came at night. So by the Holy Spirit, my wife said that one day, and I said, okay, I will. So will you. And so now, for I don't know how many years, more than I can count, I hear that every night before I go to sleep. And I don't get those attacks anymore. Once in a while, there'll be a little flare-up, and then I'll have to get a little mean with the enemy. But he's kind of learning to leave me alone. God the Father is always watching. He's always responding to our faith and our word. Be careful about what you proclaim about this day, this night, because God wants to respond to His word, not yours. And number three, working. God the Father is always working, even when we don't know it. Let me say it another way. Especially when we don't know it. Our job, according to the covenant, is to be His child and do His work. That's our part. And if you don't know what the work is, just be the child. Eventually you'll be told. Never let situations overwhelm your God. Come on, that's a big one. It may sound simple, but that's a big one. Never let your situations overwhelm your God. You want to have faith in God. You want to have faith in God's control in you. And you want to have faith that God is in control. Number three, know that no matter what we see or feel, our future is sure and safe. Even if you might end up in prison for the moment, no sweat. No hill for a stepper, man. If we slip, if we forget, if we become overwhelmed, He will be there to deliver. Now you need to not only believe that, you need to say it. You need to say, even if we slip, forget, or become overwhelmed, He will be there to deliver. What the enemy wants us to believe, that if we slip, forget, and become overwhelmed, we lose. That's not in your covenant. That's not in your word, if you know your word. Give Him glory and praise, even if we are not sure of what just happened. We see that in the story, right? We're going to give Him the glory, we're going to give Him the praise, even if we're not sure what just happened. Why? Because what just happened will come real to you. You'll get explanation, you'll get understanding. Just make sure you give Him the praise. Don't say, well, God, why'd you put me in prison anyway? You just negated a miracle in your life because you entered into that word without understanding. You don't need to understand everything except if we slip, if we become overwhelmed, if we forget, He's going to deliver. Get simple. Become as a little child. Number 6. That will clear our heads. And when we clear our heads, we can get back to His Word. All right, let me say it another way. If you'll get the fuzz out, the truth will be in there. How do I get the fuzz out? Declare it. If nothing else, declare it. Well, what if I don't have understanding? Declare God is delivering me no matter what. Just declare it. And stand back and watch God. We need to always opt to believe that we live. I would say. See, there's a lot of people in this world are dying because they don't opt to live. You can become overwhelmed with temptation, pain, those kind of things that will take away your belief system. Remember this. If you're in fellowship with the church, Peter was in prison, but he was not forgotten. And though he forgot, those people did not. The Holy Spirit moved on them and said, we want him out of there. God said, well, that sounds like me. I agree. You hear me? Opt to believe that you live, that you move, and that you have your being in miracles. Miracles have been stolen from the church in general. And it's time to get them back. And the only way to get them back is to get our heads out of semi-faith and get them into solid truth so that faith can arise, so that signs and wonders will follow. To have signs and wonders follow, we're going to enter into fellowship. Why? Because sometimes you need it, sometimes I need it, and God always needs it. And the last one, never let the enemy steal your miracle. Never let... Why? How can he steal my miracle? I'll give you one. I've told you this before, I'll tell you again until you remember. I was sitting at a stoplight one time talking to a friend of mine in an intersection. And I saw a car come through the intersection, I saw an 18-wheeler go right through it. And the car's still okay. I'm like Peter. That was a vision. But there was somebody else in the car. And I said, did you see what I just saw? He said, if you just saw a truck run through a car, yeah, we saw the same thing. All right. What would have happened if he would have said, I didn't see nothing. If I wasn't careful, I could get my miracle stolen. Well, what do you mean that's your miracle? Hey, that's mine. I saw it. I saw a miracle happen. It's mine. It may have happened to those people. And chances are, and you need to remember this, most of the time the miracles that God do for you, you never see. Those people in that car and that truck, they never saw that happen. Or their brakes would still be skidding. We'd have had a couple of heart attacks right there. Even though there was nothing bad happen. I didn't see that once. I saw that twice. I don't know why. Maybe I'm hard to get. Anyway, don't let God don't let the enemy steal your miracle. If you've ever been healed, if God's ever provided, hey, listen, if it's just a little one, you latch onto that and you give God praise until it's a bigger one. Because you may have the need of a bigger one coming. So you better give Him some praise for that little one. And if you haven't had a big miracle, you will get one because you will need one. Or you'll die. You can choose James or you can choose Peter. The enemy is out to kill you. Choose to live. Do it by remembering past victories and expecting future ones. And don't expect it on your shoulders, because the greatest miracle is going to happen when you fail. Come on. When you can't do it, God shows you can't do it, but He shows that He can and will, and now you have more faith in God than you ever had before. Amen? Is that short enough? Okay, 10 minutes off at least. All right, stand with me. I think that God wanted you to hear this word tonight because He wants to do some things for you. And He started by giving you some, maybe a different slant, a different look, or a different understanding on something. Why would God do that? Because either you need it right now, or you'll need it very soon. Don't be discouraged about what I just said. Don't ever be afraid of somebody predicting that God's going to work on your behalf. By the way, God has nothing to do unless you're in trouble. I'm not trying to be sacrilegious or irreverent, but if we would just understand that most of our life is spent in need of Him, He'd have something to do. He's got angels out the kazoo that are anxious to work for you. Through fellowship, through understanding, through belief systems, we can keep them busy. Why? Because we're going to be busy. We're going to be busy getting in trouble, so we have to be delivered. That sounds good. I always did like getting in trouble. Now I got a good reason to. And they said amen, right? All right. Anybody need prayer tonight? Anybody need a miracle? I know God is okay. You want to share it or just get it? Any reason why? See, Peter didn't know what he needed and he got it. Is there anything? Listen to finances for a second. Finances are like chains and guards. They're the same thing. You can't move. You can't get out of it. There's no way out. Come on. Until you finally understand that God can deliver you from financial chains also. And if He can do it through finances, He can do it in your body. He can do it in your children and your grandchildren and all your kin folks. Amen? If that's true, then get over and lay hands on her. Somebody else wants to. I'll tell you one thing. God don't need me to do miracles. He just needs your faith. And somebody else praying. We just read that the church prayed and Peter was delivered. Anybody else? Anybody else? Pastor, you're right there. Grab her. I'm going to believe whatever he says. I'm in agreement with what he says right now. Harold, that job you just quit, you may not have been thinking about this, but you quit it because it was in disagreement to the Word of God. Right? As you think about it right now, what bothered you the most was what they told you was directly against God's will for children. Amen? So why don't you think of it that way, give God praises, and watch Him bless you from what the devil meant for bad will turn to good. Amen? Those finances are not stolen from you. They're pressed down, shaken together, running over back to you. Amen? Anybody else? Harold, you just got... Truth, would you go back there and pray with her? The lady in the red blouse right back there. You might even say, my name is and your name is what? And then let God work. Amen? There's a lady right there behind you that can help you believe, Harold. One right there. Anybody feel like laying hands on her or agreeing with her, whatever, do it. Anybody else? There are miracles happening tonight because of a word from God. Amen? Anybody else? Did you raise your hand? That man right there raised his hand. Any other gentleman want to pray with him? Now the word when you leave here is I'm saved, healed, delivered. A miracle happened. Don't let God steal you. I mean, don't let the enemy steal a miracle from God. Anyone else? It's hard to help somebody get a miracle without having one for you. This is fun. It's not only fun, it's real. Praise the Lord. Everybody else okay? Thank you, Lord. While that ministry is still going, let's agree together and pray. Father, we thank you that you laid on my heart to deliver this word because you knew what they needed. Not because I did, because you did. And because they've hastened to listen, you hastened to work. Give them. When they lifted their hands, they had a desire. You put that desire there. Now, Father, follow up and give them the desires of their heart to be saved, delivered, and healed. Financially, physically, family-wise, spiritually, in every way. The miracles have happened here tonight. They will not be stolen by the enemy. It will cause this church to grow. It will cause this city to become more like you, to see you in operation. We'll accept no other report. This is the word of the Lord, and I agree. I agree. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Everybody say this. I am saved. I am delivered. I am healed. I am rich. I'm strong. Thank you. And I'm delivered from the opinions of people. Especially me. Gotcha. Thank you, Lord. Hasten to do your word, Lord. Hasten to cause us to do your work. And for that, we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Don't forget our get-together in the back there for Travis.